All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, I have spent thousands of dollars commissioning a special randomization video game. So it's an arcade. No expense was spared. Your Patreon check's going to come about 4 months late. But you're going to see that it's worth it because I have actually commissioned Don Bluth.
The original 70s originals horny boy.
I think you're thinking of Ralph Bakshi.
Oh, Don Bluth is also pretty horny though.
I guess I think about Don Bluth more about, like, he's more about the ass. You can always tell a Don Bluth creation by the ass and how mobile it is. But no, I got
that. I was thinking of Ralph Bakshi though. I mean, it just happened to be both. Like, a stop clock is right at least twice a day. So, like,
so. Old animators are probably perverted. I had him kind of design us a scenario here, so I'm just going to have you pull up to it. It's called Suffering Quest. And,
The attract mode is let me brush some of these teens out of the way.
Shoot! Let me get my spray bottle. Go away!
Get that poison spray. All right, let's see here.
It's just left or right, depending on what's going on. Okay, coming up, we have the orb. What are you going to do?
Right?
The human has been neutralized.
All right.
That is a very lovingly drawn animation of my death, Cole. Like, how much time did you get this guy to spend? Oh, jeez, man.
Well, both of the options would have resulted in this. Really, that's where the majority of the expense went. You notice that the orb just kind of appears. It grows from like one pixel to like the entire screen, and then inside of it, I don't want to describe what you're. But what's that sticking out of your ear? It's an SNES copy of Space Ace.
You couldn't have made, like, a ticket that came out of the game or something. Okay. I'll allow it.
Hey, Don Bluth. Don Bluth calls the shots.
What's hanging out of my butthole? Space Ace. Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where you play bad games so you don't have to.
Yes. Sometimes they're just weird games. Sometimes they're games that people say, hey, Cole and Gary, check this out. Sometimes, like this right here, it is objectively garbage.
This is bottom 5% for the show.
Yeah. Holy shit. Oh, yeah.
Like, it is, in a world without the X-Men NES game, this might be.
Yeah. Without breaking a sweat, like, this is a Michael Jordan layup right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's the opposite of whatever a free throw is for Shaq.
Space Bogot hoop dream.
But yeah, this is the SNES version of I was about to say Beloved, but that's not actually right. It's an also ran in terms of full motion quick time events brought out to game length, just cartoons that maybe you can. I've never actually played Space Ace, Gary. Is the thing.
I've never played Space Ace. I played a lot of Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, me too.
When my dad would take me to the Dragon's Lair and I would play it, and it's bad in a way that, like, I get, you know,
I mean, it falls into it's the David Cage problem for you, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, and this is pretty much like a David Cage game. the original, like the arcade version.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean to walk you down that path early. Like, let's just talk about that now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and nobody needs to hear me rant about this again. But like, video games, stop trying to be something you're not. like games are good. Like, you don't have to be ashamed of your medium. Like, you know, there's an insecurity of this kind of, you know, let's make a playable cartoon. Can you imagine that? You know what, you know, it's like is when Marvel or something will get an author to like somebody who writes novels to write a comic.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just like, finally, legitimacy for our medium. It's like, listen.
Take that, dad.
Yeah, take that, you know, Ed Brubaker. Take that, Alan Moore. Like, they're, you know, that's, we're fine. It can be its own thing. And then it's just kind of like, what if you could play a cartoon?
Yeah. Nothing saying that a game can't be cinematic. Nothing saying that a game can't be well animated. Can't have a lot of character and personality. But, you know, first principles, Clarice.
Yeah, it's called Prince of Persia. Like, it's like you can do that kind of animated cartoon thing and make it a good game.
Yeah,
you know, this is just like, you know, the a real cart before the horse fuck up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's something.
Oh, good.
I'm surprised you're able to play Dragon's Lair. I'm not going to be able to think about anything but that Sunset Rubdown song. I listened to it 3 times today.
Well, that's yep. It's you got taken to the Dragon's Lair.
Yep. check out the last episode of Try This. It certainly does. No, I'm surprised because Dragon's Lair has always been a very expensive, very costly game. Even today, there's a Dragon's Lair 2 at the arcade where we did our meetup and stuff, and that was still very expensive compared to the other games. And that is an expensive arcade.
Yeah, and for no reason, for a game that is entirely just like a memorization.
Right.
Like, can you memorize a cartoon?
Yeah.
You know, and like, yes. Like, I did it all the time when I was young. I just didn't pay a dollar, like a dollar for every 30 seconds I memorized.
Right.
You know, they released those. They released Dragon's Lair on iOS.
Yes.
And it was like an early, like when I was first getting into like iOS gaming, and it was on a sale and I bought it because I was like, oh, this is like well known. I could never afford to play this in the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simultaneously like a really shitty game. That is no fun at all if it's not stealing your money.
Yep.
Like it's no fun if it's stealing your money, but like Unlimited Continues just makes this like the worst cartoon.
Like, oh, Gary, counterpoint. It makes it a cartoon where the main character turns into a skeleton 9 times out of 10.
All the time. Yeah. That's true. It's just in a weird, like it's like a creepy, it's like that creepypasta where Bart turns into a skeleton at the end. You know, Bart
is that really
Bart skeleton. Yeah, there's a creepypasta about Bart getting killed and like all the Simpsons like mourning him. It's like, you know, it's stupid because it's a dumb creepy concept, but
yeah, but I mean that's happened. Like Homer fantasizes like when he forgot to pick up Bart at a soccer game, he goes and finds a skeleton, and it's funny because his skull is shaped like his hair is.
Yeah,
like, it's got the little jaggies on it. Yeah,
yeah, the little screenshots from the creepypasta.
Oh,
are that because it's the like the subgenre, the like Candle Cove like lost episode subgenre, which like I think has, there's a little bit to that. I kind of like this idea of like, oh, there's like this really fucked up, scary, haunted version of this thing that only aired once, and then
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like syndication is kind of like fertile grounds for spooks.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, like I'm sure somebody will say, oh, Mandela Effect, the Muppet Babies totally did an episode about Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, skeletons are cool. I've never been successful at Dragon's Lair, and I can never bring myself to spend the money to get it in any of the digital forms because, like, I can see
you're not a fucking moron.
Yeah, like,
it's really bad investment.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's $5 to like I could watch it on YouTube and appreciate the Don Bluth animation, you know, and watch Dirk Dehring's butt wiggle all around. And then, mm-hmm. You know, understand, yep, that's totally a Don Bluth thing. And then you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a less like it's a horny like 70s animator, but not
it's not
like
a, horny. It's not like him at his horniest. It's not the height of his horny powers.
It's him in like a cute horny as opposed to like I'm going to fucking eat you out. Like that's Ralph Bakshi. Like, Ralph Bakshi is like, you are going to come in my face.
Yeah.
Like, and then like Don Bluth is like, man, I love tits. You know, so, I want to get those two guys on like a space shuttle together.
aggressive cunnilingus is never a good look for somebody.
It actually is very cool. And Owen's cool. So, right.
Okay, okay. All right.
Counterpoint.
That's all it took. All right.
But like the horny adventures of Don Bluth and Ralph Bakshi as like an animated series in and of itself. Like one of these games it's just them just being like, you know, Don Bluth just being like, man, look at the butt on that girl. And then Ralph actually like grabs his shoulder, his fingers digging. He's like, I want to fucking eat her ass. I'll destroy that butthole, Don.
Okay. So you press right to be a Bluth and you press left to be a Bakshi.
You just get to see which take you want it. You know, you're presented with different situations. Mm-hmm. You just click which take you want to have, like regular human amounts of horny or supernatural radiation infused mega horny. Like the creator of wizards.
Draw open the curtains, honey. What the fuck, Ralph? Like,
I'm gonna flood your basement.
We need to make this game.
I think this is like I was gonna say it's flash material, as if that's like a mark of quality. Like, yeah. Cool, let's get it on new grounds.
Holy shit.
we made it.
We're gonna be the next the behemoth.
Yeah. And people are like using little gachapon machines to get little like little Ralph Bakshis and Don Bluth.
It could be like Pac-Man 2.
yeah. But like the Pac-Man Prom Chronicles is like, you know, Miss Pac-Man gets Ralph Bakshi's hand pregnant.
You have to decide where you're going to finger Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, Miss Pac-Man plays a quick game of spray egg.
Ugh.
All over his palm. And then that's how Pac babies are made. That's how Pac-Man happened.
Are they birthed out of the wrist?
Yeah, like Spider-Man.
Yep.
Whip. I did have the thought about this when we were, you know, just thinking about how horny this guy is and stuff when I was playing this, is that like it's kind of a proto Overwatch in that respect.
How so?
Like well, just because like that is marketed to be, you know, horny characters.
Mm.
You know, and people, and just this idea of like, oh, Daphne. I remember seeing like, you know, like message board, like people reminiscing and stuff about that, and like Daphne being kind of like almost like a Lara Croft character.
Oh yeah.
In that kind of like, let's lust after this video game character. People weren't like shipping them in a weird way, but like there was a, you know, this is a very early example of a video game sex symbol.
Okay, yeah, I mean, just when it actually had, like, it wasn't just a cover painting, this is a character in the game, and
yeah.
there is, like, an interaction. What year did Dragon Slayer came out? I want to say, like, 88?
I feel like it's earlier than that, actually.
Huh, let's take a look here.
Yeah, we can...
Holy shit, wow, 83.
Yeah, I thought it was much earlier. I mean, that's why it was impressive, you know, that's why people were dropping bucks on it.
Yeah.
So
can you tell me, like, so this is my first real experience with Space Ace. I get the sense that it is pretty much just copy pasted, except the gladiator helmet is now a space helmet.
Hey, more or less. It's like, yeah, it's the theming is different, but you do the same things. You're just like, right, in a fantastical environment, and you know, maybe an alien is going to come out of this thing if you don't press left in time. Mm-hmm. Like and this is all for the original version. We had to get into the SNES version, mm-hmm, which is very different. But the original version, it's most charitable. It is a reflex game. You right. know, it's like, so there's an element of like, you know, just dodge the thing.
Right, right. Or just like read the screen, you know, and decide which is the best way to go.
You know, but a lot of times the reason why that falls down is that there are many reasonable actions. Like if a snake is coming out, sometimes you have to press left to avoid it, but sometimes you have to jump to avoid it. And there's, mm-hmm, both of them would work, it yeah. seems like, but just one of them doesn't.
Yeah. One of them isn't very obviously French kiss snake. Ah, I'm going to get up there. I'm getting there. I'm like, fuck Ralph. Stop giving me that advice.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be nice to kiss that snake? I'd fucking kiss her.
I'd kiss her with my piss hole. Oh my God. What are you talking about? Like,
Ralph, calm down. Kiss her with my piss hole. But the Super Nintendo version, like, how do you even describe this? Because it still has that trial and error gameplay to it.
It does.
But it's like wearing the skin of a like a platformer, like regular action game.
So it takes the notable scenes from Space Ace is the thing that I've seen. There's very little information about this. This is kind of like a they fired it and forgot it, and it doesn't really show up in any of the literature about Space Ace itself. But like, they take the scenes, and then because the SNES is the SNES, they can't recreate them at that fidelity. Again, that fidelity being one of the only cool things about that game, charitably. And they try and turn it into something that can run on that, that has a little bit of the same flavor, but ends up using incompetent action game mechanics to represent the same things. So it is very much trial and error based, but like, you're expected to land jumps, you know, and not just, you know, make decisions. I don't know.
It does that kind of everything is way over animated thing. Yes. Like, his run cycle, which is very lovingly like animated, he doesn't move enough for it.
Right.
So he just looks like this weird like moonwalk.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's like he's
incredibly unattractive.
It's like he's goofy, just constantly like slipping as he runs.
Yeah.
And he's got a little bit too much of that like keep on trucking, baby. Kind of like
oh, sure.
Flow
Mr.
to him.
Natural.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Natural. There's a little bit of a Mr. Natural kind of thing to him.
Yeah. Who is also like a legendary horn dog, just like while we're, because if we're gonna make this sitcom, we can throw in Fritz the cat.
Isn't that,
and Mr. Natural's neighbor.
That's Ralph Bakshi. It's just their characters.
Well,
are there
his
are
drawing
there,
but yeah,
are but, there characters coming to life? Is that the thing? Is this a reverse Cool World?
Oh no. Fucked. But it's just because I was thinking of the comics which are simultaneously hornier and less horny than the actual cartoon of the many lives of Fritz the cat. The crumb comics.
Crumb, there we go. Okay, sorry, I got our crumb mixed up. I think our crumb is gonna be, like he says, give you the neighbor.
Yeah, our crumb could just be like, you know, did somebody say my name? Like, did somebody draw like a gigantic ass that I can ride on like Master Blaster? So I could draw myself doing it and jerk off to that drawing, because I do that and I talk about it in my books.
I totally mixed up R. Crumb and Ralph Bakshi. I'm sorry.
Well, Ralph Bakshi did the cartoon.
Yes,
the 70s like CD cartoon version of it. Yeah. So they are like partners in perv, like.
Oh man. But yeah, like a way over animated run. I'm not sure how many scenes you see that run happen in, because you leave this shitty little platforming thing and you go into a top down space maze.
The space maze where it's like way too zoomed in.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have nearly enough time to make your like decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the world rotates rather than your ship.
Right.
So it's like, it's very nauseating and like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's also some rudimentary shooting at seemingly arbitrary times. Space Ace will get like buff, which gives him a gun.
Yeah. That's a thing. Like, I got stuck because if you don't make the right decisions, you'll just end up in the space maze forever without being able to go on to the next chapter. Apparently, you have to intuit that at certain points when you've done enough stuff and a thing flashes on the screen, you press the L button, which no game uses the L button, in order to become super buff and be able to shoot. I don't understand what upper body strength has to do with shooting a space laser, but here we are.
Nothing. I mean, things got a kick on it, I guess.
Just, but so all the videos that I saw of this happening, you have to like, are you moving the cursor, or is
yes.
it just, oh shit.
Yeah. It's really, really awkward. Like as a thing, I think in the actual arcade game, there's just a button that is just shoot.
Yeah.
And you'll just contextually know what to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very hard to know when to do that. And again, the same thing that Dragon's Lair does, where like there are just multiple options for what to do. You know, so like I would just shoot all the aliens, because like, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
You know, like no agent of Borfs is going to be safe around me if I'm a space ace. But the instead, like, some of them are just invincible for no reason. So you can't just like, you know, Hulk right. out and Strongo on them with a gun.
Yeah. Like this is a part of the level, and you're going to have to try and get underneath its buzzsaw arms.
Yeah. It's fucking dumb.
Yeah. And and so they attempt to bring a little bit of the majesty over from the arcade game by doing these large kind of limited animation scenes that are done again at SNES resolution with the SNES color palette, and that style doesn't doesn't convert to pixel art very well, because guess what you need for that style of animation? Different line weight. In fact,
yeah,
when you look at the renderings of these things, it looks like something somebody made in KidPix.
Yeah, yeah. Everything has a big bulky chunky outline.
Yeah.
To it in kind of like an unattractive way. Like the thing when we get to see Borf, who's the antagonist of this thing, who looks like
he's just Bluto.
Yeah, look, Bluto are like the genie from Aladdin, but like,
oh, yeah,
his like biker cousin. like Robbing Williams, because he robs people.
Right.
Robin
Trilliums, please.
Yeah, I Robbing Trilliums also. We can both be right. Robin Trilliums is pretty good. So when they show him, it's like, it doesn't look bad, but it looks like, it does look like that drawing you're talking about. And because, so I couldn't get past the first screen of this. It just looks like he's saying like mountainside. Like he's got this, like, again, kind of a horny looking leer to his face,
mm-hmm,
and just keeps popping up this little like mountainside. Yeah. What is that a euphemism for?
Is that where you're going to fuck me?
Yeah. Are you going to mount my side?
Am I trying to escape the mountain? Am I trying to escape fuck mountain?
Yeah. Borf will take you to fuck mountain. Space Ace 2.
Yep. We're going to spelunk.
No. Like this, yeah. Yeah.
It's just
spunk.
But why did this end up being your filthiest episode?
It's because it's two of the horniest animators of all time, one of which is not featured in this game.
I don't know. And so that trial and error thing is really, really frustrating, because it's not just when Borf is shooting his laser at you and it's a very defined pattern that's the same every time, which, come on. Mm-hmm. But like, follow that up with a forced scroll, you know.
Yeah.
as you go into these things where you can jump way farther than you expect you should be able to on the horizontal axis, but not far enough on the vertical axis.
There's also, you're collecting these little like Tron discs.
Yeah, it's like you're stepping on like Nike Vortexes or something like that.
And like, there's one of those. So there's one of them. When the playthrough I've watched through, like the perfect playthrough of it, there are hidden ones. There's like some Time Lord shit where you like jump and make them appear.
Yeah, or when you're running over like a single pixel and the screen blurs for like a second.
Yeah.
During a forced scroll kind of thing, you have to do those things in order to even see the real ending. Like you have to get Ace on every single scene.
I never, the way that adventure games or games that are not kind of mechanically focused, when they do like, hey, make sure you collect all the little things to see the real ending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into it.
No.
Like, I think I've decided that I just like definitively don't like that.
Yeah.
Like it's like Hotline Miami did it. It's pretty frustrating. I'm playing through Oxenfree right now. It's pretty frustrating. Like, just like, oh, I could just, you know, walk back and forth and find all the little like, you know, little dealies,
mm-hmm,
you know, to get this thing. And it's like, there has to be, in the world of video games, you have to use your imagination, find a better way to incentivize exploration than that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just hiding a bunch of tchotchkes around, like, it's pretty unimaginative.
Mm-hmm.
Dislike.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And this is kind of a cousin to that, but like, even though Gabriel Knight is one of my favorite games, you know, especially among the games that we that I've discovered through the show, like that point system pisses me right the fuck off. That weird little vestige of Sierra again trying to further gamify, you know, something that kind of should have just existed on its own.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And I mean, and for sure, like, you know, that's not like a Gabriel Knight thing.
That's what I mean. But it's like, yeah, man, have the wisdom to recognize that you have something special outside of that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think of that almost like this points or lives in general,
yeah,
as a thing that's like going away, you know, like, mm-hmm, adventure games eventually got rid of those.
Yeah.
But early on, because there's more than just Sierra. Are there points in Monkey Island 1?
I feel like there
might be.
Maybe. It's been so long since I played like the original, according to Hoyle, Monkey Island 1.
Yeah. But that was such a like a conflict between what video games were understood to be and what adventure games were trying to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, of course, like, games have to have points.
Yeah, because, you know? Because how else?
Yeah, how else? You want kids to be able to get the high score, so like some kid can brag about getting the high score on, you know, on King's
on
Quest.
Loom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally kicked Loom's ass.
When I'm watching this game gets fucking bonkers. Have you watched a playthrough where you fight a gigantic version of your demon head?
No.
In this?
What?
Like, Species, like, there's, like, a zombie version of his head. He goes through this, like, world of clones of himself that are monochrome, and a gigantic monochrome version of his head that, like, chases him trying to bite him. And it looks like one of the most frustrating things in the world, though, because the scrolling is forced but random. Like, you'll be force scrolling to the right, and then all of a sudden force scrolling to the lower left, and then force scrolling to the upper right, and, like, back and forth. It is excruciating looking. Like, I'm not even playing it, and it's frustrating me.
No, that's
and then
too
you get
much.
Rocket skates, and your overhead versions with the ship turn to rocket skate versions with jumping. So it becomes this kind of overhead platforming.
Ugh. No, thanks. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird because it feels like they created like two different engines. It's like, okay, we're going to have this faux side scrolling, but with a little bit of depth to it kind of thing. And also this incredibly nauseating Sonic the Hedgehog bonus level.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And we're going to shoehorn every single part of it. Like, I would have much more respected like a collection of mini games or something.
Oh, sure.
You know, just kind of like do like a WarioWare micro game. Like, all right, now you're playing Space Ace and you have to dodge all the beams. Now you have to jump on these platforms and stuff. Like the fact that everything had to be like shoehorned into both of those things, I love armchair quarterbacking on this kind of thing, but like there's a version of this that could probably be cool and special.
Yeah probably, like, and more cool and special than the original version, where it like literally just has one thing going for it, you know.
Yeah, like you take these constraints and then kind of like use those to turn that story into a game, and like borrow the design assets in order to like heighten that part of it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because like there are weird, like, as much as this look like Kid Pix things, like this doesn't really look like any other Super Nintendo game.
No.
Like, there is a unique kind of look to this, mm-hmm. even if it is kind of bad. Like,
even that run animation, like,
Yeah, totally. Like, when the big boss sprite kind of things come through, mm-hmm. like, they are really, really huge mobile characters for a Super Nintendo game. Like, they, you know, take up 2/3 of the screen.
Yeah.
You know, it, like, there is an impressive element to this
mm-hmm.
on some level, but it's just hard to dig out amongst all the shit and how unpleasurable it feels in your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, not disappointed, but like, this is the first, you know, out of games we're doing today, like, weirdly enough, once, you know, because we record these in batches, and because of Exquisite Suffering, like, it doesn't, you know, those batches don't necessarily correspond to the next three episodes that come out.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't always know, but out of the games that we did for the show today, I was not expecting this to be the worst one. There is a very infamous game we're doing as well that I was expecting. Oh shit, Cole, I'm watching this ending thing.
Breaking news.
Motorcycle. Like, you go to a motorcycle stage, like a side-scrolling motorcycle. When you run into Princess, like, it's not Daphne. That's the name of the Dragon Slayer.
Kimberly.
She is literally doing like pantomiming, putting a dick into her mouth as you walk up to her. I can't see what else the motion was supposed to be.
Is she fanning herself? Does she have the vapors and she's using a caftan because of the aerodynamics? Does she want you to kiss her with your pistol?
I think she wants you to put a corn dog into her mouth.
Oh,
like, she's just like, she's trying to get a baby to eat a corn dog, and by example. Like, get her to eat a corn dog.
Here comes the air.
Yeah, here comes the air hog.
So that's unfortunate.
And then they go on, they're doing a little overhead skating thing together, like she becomes mm-hmm. like a little like trailing thing, but that is exactly what it looks like. It is as unambiguous as like the blowjob scene in that wrestling game.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Nintendo game where they do, where like you go and get your dick sucked to recharge your energy in the halfway through. Yeah. Video games are fucking weird, man.
Yeah, like, for sure. You were about to say something. You thought this was going to be the most. You did not imagine this was going to be the worst of the games. One of the games we've done in this batch today, more infamous than this, but like this is a cut above or a cut
surprisingly
below.
Better. Like, I think that other game is like. I mean, we'll talk about it, but like, isn't by no means
the
worst thing.
We will have talked about it last week because I got these out of order, Gary. But we didn't do anything that.
So this is worse than Mega Man 3 for DOS.
Yes,
like significantly worse. Like, I think that like in a world, and I'm sure I said this in the past because this is confusing, but in a world in which like Mega Man for NES didn't exist, mm-hmm. like this, that Mega Man for DOS would have been like, oh, this is kind of just a, you know, a DOS platformer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like a DOS platformer to me. Yeah. This is 1,000 times worse. Like,
yeah,
this is really bad.
Yeah. This is a game that was randomly selected. It was suggested by TomServo89. Tom! Hello. Exclamation mark, who I think might be the same person who just kind of suggested it twice. And then Chris as well. And all of them said some kind of similar things. Is this a platformer? I don't know. It takes everything about the arcade version and removed it. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, and you're not wrong.
No, I think you're very right. This is bottom 10%.
Yeah, this is I had 5%. Did it get upgraded somehow?
No. Sorry.
Now that I've heard about that corn dog scene, like, okay. That bumps it up a solid 3% on the GPA. Like,
we're grading on a curve here.
You can buy the whole
succulent curves.
You can buy the whole seat, but you'll only use the edging that you'll be doing. For the corn dog scene,
you can buy the whole seat. In fact, you're gonna have to pay for it to be replaced because it's going to be sopping wet by the time you're done with it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. Have you seen, like, when in the overhead sections of this you have your little UI element that's like really, really confusing? Like, mm-hmm.
It's like
score.
Your little readout, like when you're in the maze, it's like here's your shields, how many times you can bump on the walls, stuff like that.
Do you have an ESP meter? Like, when did Space Ace get ESP? I don't know.
I don't know.
So thank you for suggesting this horny adventure. Thank you, Ralph Bakshi, for being history's greatest sex monster.
You mean Don Bluth?
Yeah, Don Bluth and Ralph Bakshi.
There we go.
East Bluth Ein sex monster?
East Bluth Ein sex monster.
Time will tell.
So thank you everybody for listening. If you want to support this show and others like it, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, where if you just for $5 a month, you can vote on the games that we do for a premium episode and get an extra episode of the show per month.
Yeah, and for $25 per month, right, you get to dictate a game.
Yes.
Yep. You can just tell us a game to play, mm-hmm. and we'll play it. So if you know that is you have the power. The power is yours.
Yeah. Those are first come, first serve. And it's there's a little form that you fill out that I send out as it goes along. But we really appreciate, like, we've got some doozies, man.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
This is thank you guys very much. Ratings, reviews, all those stuff is still very useful. Yeah. And the nice thing about this is, like, if we ever do the Abject Suffering adventure game, we now get a chapter with Ralph Bakshi and Don Bluth trying to teach us the mysteries of fingers. All the cool things they can do.
Until next time, who is Bluth Dog?
Who is Bluth Dog? Who is Horn Dog?